Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Satan, if I can go here, guys, Satan wants our strengths for his kingdom. So those of us who are word smart, we can gossip, tease, name call, demand the last word, impress with all that we know, lie and not get caught, and then Satan wins.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Dr. Kathy Cook about how you can parent with a biblical mindset.
If that would became my reputation, my ministry would be done. So to be the parent who challenges children with biblical character, to have respect for yourself and for others, and to have self-control. And so you learn to not speak even though you want to, and you learn to listen well. Otherwise, the gift that God's given you, Ephesians 2:10, Psalm 139, becomes a liability. Yeah. And then parents say, don't, like this woman who called it out, and then you don't.
Yeah.
And then God loses, and you lose because you don't get the joy of serving through the gift that was chosen for you.
Hear more from Dr. Kathy at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. Terry Morris was born on the mean streets of Chicago. I guess that was his first mistake. His mother wanted nothing to do with him. But she couldn't summon the courage to abandon her child just yet, so she emptied her frustrations in physical violence. She beat Terry. I mean, all of the time. Not as punishment, however. Terry's mother had a different approach to punishment. She locked him out of the house. When Terry was a bad boy, his mother would just throw him out and lock the door. And that wouldn't have been so terrible, except that the little boy got hungry after a while, and he got thirsty, and perhaps worst of all, he thought this was a normal part of growing up, that when you misbehaved, you got kicked out of the house, and you didn't get to eat. Now Terry Morris is 14. His mother goes to church and says goodbye to the pastor. The pastor asks, where is she going? Terry's mother says she is moving to Mississippi. It's only later, after she is gone, that the pastor realizes Terry's mother has left her son behind. Just flat left him on the street with nowhere to go, no one to turn to except the pastor. The latter, of course, could not believe that a sister of the church would do such a thing. In fact, he refused to believe it, assuming instead that there'd been some mistake. The minister made arrangements for Terry to join his mother in Mississippi. So Terry went to Plantersville, and he did locate his mother, and she abandoned him again. Now he's alone on the street again, only this time with nobody at all to turn to. So Terry Morris survived the only way a little boy knew how, by scrounging through garbage cans for food, by sleeping in abandoned cars, a week and then 2 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks with no bath, no change of clothing, and when it rained on Terry. Finally, after a month and a half of this, some welfare officials finally noticed him. And they said, my goodness, you're 14. What are we supposed to do with you? And while they were making up their minds what to do with him, and because there was no place else to put him, they threw him in jail. Americans, what you've just heard, when multiplied times who knows how many, is typically a prelude to an obituary, a collection of forlorn facts preceding death by knife or bullet or bludgeon or hypodermic needle. And it is tempting to blame society in general and even to excuse whatever future criminal behavior may result from such a background. But mainly, we expect that subject from such a bleak biography to die young. And most statistics support our expectations. But the next time you are inclined to give up on yourself or somebody else, please remember Terry Morris, who could have held everybody and everything in life responsible for his misery, but who instead decided that he would at least die with an education. And he dedicated his life to that decision, and he graduated high school in Tupelo with honors. And he was accepted at Mississippi State University, where he graduated in 1990, and he's now a respected electrical and electronics engineer, inventor of the telerobic manipulator system for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Slow Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have a former author and also former mayor and city council person, Debbie Peterson from Grover Beach. And we are talking about what the public does when the city council does not listen to them. The one thing they can do is citizens' initiative to put things on the ballot for change. When you know the bulk of the public wants something, you can get it on the ballot and you can make change. So they collected the signatures to put a ballot measure on stopping the big buildings along certain parts of the city right near the coastal area. Anything over, I think, 5 or 6 feet. So they've got this initiative. They collected more than double the signatures that they needed. And then the city started looking at ways to stop it and started finding things that they didn't like about it. And Debbie, one of the things that I have heard, and tell me what is going on here, is that developer Gary Grossman, who the bulk of the big buildings that have built the city already are through Gary, his attorney has offered to help the city fight the initiative. Is that accurate?
Yes, and before we go on to that one, a couple of other accuracy. I think you said 5 or 6 feet. 5 or 6 feet. We meant 55 or 66 foot buildings, 5 or 6 story heights. And then also the ballot measure signatures were 1.5 times what we needed, not double. Now, going back to Gary Grossman, one of our candidates was very near to at a builder's meeting, very near to our city manager and the representative from Coastal Community Builders, Gary Grossman's company, and the representative said, "Well, you know, we would be more than happy to provide our attorneys to the city of Grover Beach to help you fight this no more tall buildings ordinance." Now, the city manager, we're going to say maybe partly to his credit, said, "Oh, well, it's going on the ballot." Well, he didn't say. Don't incentivize me, don't give me your attorney or any of that. He just said it's going on the ballot. So we left it open for all kinds of illegal shenanigans, which we believe are happening. When we discovered that, we went to I put in a public records request to the city and to the HCD, the Housing and Community Development Division of the state, for any communication correspondence between them and the city to find out what was really being said, what was really being done. And turns out that at that time, they really refused to do what the city was badgering them to do, which was to tell them all the reasons that this ballot measure couldn't be done. They refused to do that. They really didn't do that. And they also went on to say they saw nothing illegal in the measure, either now or in the future. And we have that in writing, in correspondence with the city. So the city then appointed an ad hoc committee of the two newest council members who were apparently, they said, contacted by an organization, HTF. And incidentally, this organization is funded by one of the organizations that is primarily responsible for millions of dollars of graft, money laundering, stealing of public funds in Los Angeles. So, but our city council went to these people, to this nonprofit funded by the crooks in part and funded by developers and by people who fund developers, went to them and said, oh, you know, give us a letter. So they got a letter saying it may be illegal if, it might if, and of course none of those are going to happen, none of those ifs. And so those people then, and the Yes in My Backyard people, based on the assumption that we're going to reduce housing, which is purely an assumption because in fact it's going to increase housing, but based on that allegation, went and badgered the HCD, the Housing Community Development people, to send a letter saying what they wanted, which is, oh, what they're doing is illegal and blah, blah, blah. And so the HCD, based on what they were told by these people, did send a letter saying, well, there's a possibility this could happen. But there were a lot of ifs, a lot of maybes, and we know that none of those will come about. And we know that this is all just scare tactics so that the city can continue developing these very tall buildings. And primarily with this, well, it's with three different developers so far, but 8/10 of them are, well, actually there's 11 now. So 8/11 of them were developed by coastal community builders. And I think, I'm not sure, did you have Jeannie Pleasant on your show talking about the trouble that they're having at San Luis Ranch in San Luis Obispo?
No, I had one of the other residents on the show.
Oh, I see. Okay. So there are some horrific, and if you go to Nightmare at San Luis Ranch on my Corruption Chronicles YouTube site, you'll hear it. It is worth paying attention to, especially if you live in Grover Beach or in San Luis Obispo or in any development that Gary Grossman is building at this point, because it just tells a horrific story, another horrific story of what's happening up there, another lawsuit about the very poor quality of his build. And some of those issues that we were seeing up in San Luis Obispo that are now on the court records are arising already in the buildings which Grossman has built in Grover Beach. Issues of mold, issues of large cracks appearing in buildings and in stairs. So I don't remember your original question, Karen. I sort of went off on it there, but
the original question was the attorneys trying to get involved in stopping you, and then you also though there was I want you to tell me what's going on. Stu brought up that there had been a letter from the state housing regarding the project. Now, what Stu said, he didn't think it was that. They can stop it with this. It was more of the city trying to say this letter means it should be stopped. Please explain to us and clarify what is going on.
So when the city was unable to, you know, that's kind of the story that I just went through, which is that the city has been trying very hard to get someone to provide them with some kind of correspondence saying they can't do this, they can't do this, they can't do this. And so far they haven't been successful. And just to explain, Stu is an attorney with years of experience in public law and has a radio show about it, and also years of experience in elections. And he's saying he doesn't see anything in that letter that says that this measure can't be enforced or can't be used. And so essentially, at literally the afternoon of when the agenda item was going to appear on July 27th, which is probably a Brown Act violation, there was a letter from the HCD, Housing Community Development Department of the state of California, saying, well, the city would need to do this, the city would need to do that, we'd need to make sure that you haven't reduced that potential for housing below the 2018 levels, which it does not, and various things that would need to be complied with. And of course, notwithstanding other state laws, which include in the coastal zone where most of these are being built, the protection of the public coastal views and view sheds. So this letter is really nothing more than a scare tactic that, the city badgered the HCD into supplying, along with threats from these housing and development nonprofits, some of which are involved in some really serious court cases and charges.
So going forward, do you think this is going to cause any trouble to what getting this on the ballot?
Well, it's already on the ballot. August 7th was the last day it could have been pulled by the proponents, and they had no intention of pulling it. In fact, the city had put together what they called an ad hoc committee, and it was the two newest council members who were supposed to meet with the three proponents of this measure and convince them, and they've said this in a public meeting, it's on record, convince them to take it off the ballot. And the proponents said no. Well, first of all, they were never consulted about being on or attending the ad hoc committee, and it was just put together. And they said, no, first of all, you're not going to have a public meeting. If we're going to talk about this, we want it talked about it in public. We want it on the record. Second, 1,256 people in Grover Beach said that they want no more tall buildings. And we're not going to violate the signatures and the wishes of those 1,200 people who signed our initiative. And third of all, we want a town hall meeting. We want you to open it up to the whole community to come in and tell you what they really think. And the city refused. And so then the city went on. This ad hoc committee went on to coerce the HCD into sending this letter. But the reality is, right now, Grover Beach is in the first year of a cycle that they have to create every 5 years, and their 5 years is up. It's time for our next one, review our development plan. And our track record is incredible. We have created at least twice as much, and in some cases five times as much housing where it's been built over the last few years as we predicted we would. So there is no shortage of ability to produce the housing that's needed. And we're talking about housing, not expensive condos, but real housing for real people. This F-26 will help with that. And there's no shortage. We're going to make it just fine. But the city needs to get on it. And that's the problem. The city would rather fight with us, fight with its citizens, than get on with the job at hand, which is making sure that we can create real housing for real people and preserve the public views, which is required by law.
And are there any of the tall buildings that are being put in the city right now that you don't want? You said there's 10 new tall buildings. Are there any of them that you think are fine?
Well, here's the really interesting thing. The design that people like most of all that's been built so far is the affordable apartments on 13th and Grand. That is the nicest design, according to most people. What an irony that is. That's the affordable housing units. And what's happening with the Grossman units is that they look inside, in my view, they look like a Ramada Inn room. They're mid-range, they're high-range prices, poor build, mid-range quality with a lot of issues already occurring. And people do not like the designs. They're very boxy. They've been likened to refrigerators stacked on top of each other, all kinds of things. I won't go into that. But so for the most part, the designs are not appreciated. But the other problem is when they put their concept, which is what the Planning Commission passes, when they put their application with their concept for the building to the Planning Commission, what they show they're going to build is not what it looks like when it is built. So you can see these wonderful, lovely building designs, and then what shows up is something that you'd see on any downtown street or university dormitory building.
Is the And there are a lot of empty units right now, correct?
Well, some of them aren't built yet. Two of the buildings are built, and apparently only the first one has been sold out. The second one has not yet, apparently. That was what they said in the city council meeting on July 27th of this year. And then there are the new units that are coming up at what's called Trinity, which is the one that's 22 feet from the train station rails. That one apparently is not sold out either, and we're seeing the prices dropping on that one. I think they're in for some trouble right now, these builders, because we're having such trouble in the market. The economy is not great, and nobody can afford to buy these units. So as they develop more and more and more and more of them, and there's about 400 to 500 in the works now, I think it's going to become harder and harder to for those developers to stay in business even, perhaps.
And so you have condos in the $1 million range that are 22 feet from a railroad track. Are there trains moving through there on a regular basis, or is it once or twice a day?
It's several times a day for the Amtrak trains, but then there are freight trains that run along there. They can be 2-mile freight trains, freight trains. I live very near the train station, and I can tell you that when people come over to my house, they say, "Hey, Debbie, your pictures are crooked." I go, I know. When you have a 2-mile freight train rolling through town, it kind of rattles your house. So, and these are closer than I am. I'm not 22 feet. I'm significantly further. I'm probably 10 times that far away. But it still rattles my walls. So I think that there are going to be some real issues there. There's a very high water table. There is a moderate liquefaction factor. It is in the tsunami zone. I would want to live in one of those units.
And I do. I know they say tsunami here, but I think because of the depth of the ocean, tsunamis in this area, I think the only place that they've really had the they don't have a lot of tsunami. How would you say?
Well, tsunamis are very, very rare. Problem is when you get one.
Well, they're not as rare as you would think. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about that, but they're not as rare as you might think.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher, with the S&P 500 clinching its 27th record close of the year, following softer-than-expected wholesale inflation data for July and growing confidence that the Fed won't raise interest rates soon. The producer price index was flat from the previous month. After a decline in June for the year ending in July, the PPI moderated to 4.7%. The Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks were mostly higher, and shares of Workday surged 17%. After Reuters reported that private equity firm Silver Lake is in talks to acquire the human resources and financial management software company. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Salesforce, and Visa. The Dow decliners, Cisco, United Health Group, and McDonald's. The Dow up 70 points, the Nasdaq higher by 215, S&P 500 up 50. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
We have a beautiful new furniture store in Paso Robles, right next to Walmart. Ricky's Furniture Outlet. Locally owned by fifth generation Californian, Ricky's offers a large variety of furniture, Western art pieces, and specializes in custom sofas. Ricky's bright, beautiful showroom is a breath of fresh air here in the North County. Ricky's Furniture Outlet on Niblick, next to Walmart, in Paso Robles. Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bourdain to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall, but today we are having the host that we're working with is having issues, and if you go and look, it will be back up as soon as the host fixes their issues. I do apologize for the site being down right now. Today I have author and former mayor of Grover Beach, Debbie Peterson. We're talking about some issues with development, and this means something for every, when city councils do not watch things. And Debbie, the reason I brought up the tsunami thing is I actually took I took a graduate class over at Cal Poly not that many years back on the earthquakes and tsunamis and that type of thing. And it was explained that the reason they actually did a thing where we had shallow tubs of water and then tubs of water that went in really deep near the edges, and other ones where they were shallow, you shake the one and it splashes, it goes all the way across and splashes the other side. The ones that have the deep and come up quickly to the shoreline, very little chance of tsunami. Even when they've had earthquakes in areas that should really impact our area, and they put out a warning, we have 5 feet higher waves in Morro Bay. You may have a couple boats damaged and some piers, but we're never going to have, like in Japan and the areas that have that, it's because of the topography in the ocean near the continent. And that is what causes the really bad, you know, the horrible tsunamis.
Sure. When I said that we don't have that many tsunamis, I've seen at least two scenarios where there have been tsunami warnings where you've seen the water go way out and then come in much higher than it normally does over kind of a delayed period. So I've seen that happen a couple of times. Those are tsunamis, but in terms of the huge big waves crashing over and taking out hotels and things like that, that is pretty rare. And I hadn't heard that about our area because our bay is pretty shallow. It goes out quite a long ways, reasonably shallow. So I don't know what the story on that is, but we're susceptible to earthquakes and liquefaction and in that very area. And we're susceptible, the Coastal Commission has made us put up signs in Grover Beach that say tsunami zone. So somebody thinks it's a possible problem.
Well, and I know. And again, the Coastal Commission right now, it's elected officials that make decisions. They're having more and more of their ability to do things. But when I'm talking, there are areas, for example, there's parts of Florida you can walk out. Those are the areas when you can walk out. You can walk out a half a mile and still be walking in the water.
Right.
It isn't. Yeah. What we have here does. It is not conducive. If something comes here, it's going to be worldwide, and there's going to be no. It's not common. And we are taking your calls. 238-5775, 238-5775. So, Debbie, what do you suggest? So this is coming forward. They weren't able to get it not on the ballot. They can't stop you. I wonder how they stop this from happening, though, because I'm seeing almost every one of these initiatives that the city council didn't want. I'm seeing the battle against letting it go through. What can they do?
Well, right now, there's nothing that they can do about A26, which is elect our city clerk in Grover Beach, and F26, which is no more tall buildings or limit building heights in Grover Beach. Those will be on the November ballot. And if that's of concern to you, regardless what your opinion is, we need you to get out there and vote. So if it says, now what I would advocate for is if it says 26 on the ballot and you're in Grover Beach, A or F26, just vote yes. Because it puts the power back in the hands of the people of Grover Beach where it belongs. It's a form of direct democracy.
And we have a couple callers trying to get in. Let me get a caller. Sure. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Yeah, my name is Kelvin Kovduck, and I'm one of the organizers of the F26 initiative.
And hi, Kelvin.
Hi, Debbie. One of the reasons I'm calling is I've been attending city council meetings for the last year, almost every one. I would say 90% of them. And well, the problems is they don't respond and listen to you. One of the things that I constantly brought up in regards to the tall buildings on Front Street was that they are blocking the scenic views and vistas. And the argument of the city is that there are no scenic views and vistas. And as Debbie had mentioned, in the Coastal Act of 1976, they're saying that there are scenic views and vistas, but they refuse to recognize them. So what I suggested was that they designate certain roads in Grover Beach as scenic views and vistas, and they would not even consider it for a vote. And it's things like that that are very frustrating, that when they don't take an effort to modify the local coastal plan, send it up to Sacramento, and then, you know, and what that would do would prevent the builders from blocking the dunes in the Pacific Ocean. And so there's solutions, and it's things like that that are very frustrating as a citizen.
And, you know, that's really encouraging, Kelvin. I love it that you say that there are solutions, because there are so many solutions. And the one that the city had put together in their local coastal program, which is still part of our development code, names a number of streets, names areas, and is really pretty specific. But somehow our community development people have managed to work around that, whether legally or not. And so I think it's great. I don't know if you mentioned you're running for city council, and I sure hope you get elected, because we need some solutions.
Yeah, it was reasons for, I think we need city council members that work with the people, and, you know, such as town halls. My only experience is going to these meetings, and so maybe that's what we need, our grassroots citizens in the city council.
And going to meetings, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much for calling in. And when I was asking what should people do, I don't mean what could the city council do. What does the public do when the city council is not listening to them? You were on the city council, and I know there are times, I've watched city council meetings when the public is arguing something that they would like to see, but it's just not going to happen. But what can the citizens do to, for example, we had the paid parking here and we had the initiative. There are people upset about different things in the community. What are the best ways to get their voices heard?
You know, there are so many different ways to do it, and everybody, we all have different skill sets and gifts. Obviously, these kinds of measures are effective. They explain clearly what people want, but you can go to the council meetings, you can call into the council meetings and planning commission meetings, you can send them emails, you can send letters to City Hall, you can post on social media. If you've got the money, you can get you can find an attorney who knows how to handle it. You can get an attorney involved. You can go to the press and media. There are a whole, and you can go to some of the watchdog agencies as well. Even government has its own watchdog agencies, so you can sometimes go up the line if you can If you have good evidence for lawbreaking, you can go to the city attorney, Dan Dow. Go see Dan Dow, or you can go to the California Attorney General. You can go to the Federal Attorney General. You can go to the FBI. You can go to your local police department. And then there's lots of other agencies out there, too, that do monitoring of things. And so there's any number of things, and my recommendation is the more the people who do it, the more likely you are to be heard. So go to the meetings, meet people, get a crowd together. You can picket. You can protest on the streets, carry signs. I don't recommend blocking streets or breaking the law, but you do have a right to free speech. You can carry a sign and march around with it. That's not illegal. So there are a whole lot of things that people can do, and if they do them, and they do them consistently over time, they will win.
And I have noticed
and
that...
And vote. I didn't say that. Vote's the most important thing. Sorry, interrupted you, Karen.
And vote is the most important thing. I have seen I have seen going to the meetings and speaking out does do a good job. And I have seen a large change in the amount of people questioning where grant money is being spent, what city councils are doing. You look at what's happened in the city of SLO. The mayor became involved in a grand jury issue, and it was citizens who had earlier been afraid to speak out that did public records requests and found out there had been a violation of the law and became very active in making sure the community knew about it.
That's right. You can start a website. You can write a book. And what worries me about the city of San Luis Obispo and that correspondence, that text correspondence, is it talks, there's quite a few posts about Gary Grossman in glowing colors. And that worries me because we're seeing that it looks like there's relationships. You know, the people who came down to work in the Grover Beach Planning Department, Kyle Bell, worked for the city of SLO, worked in affordable housing, much of which didn't happen, or one of which went to a former mayor, Jan Marks, and then Pismo Beach's person who worked in affordable housing but didn't ever really make it happen or didn't make the deeds appropriate to pass on in a timely manner. She came to Grover Beach, and so you're seeing a whole lot of, and then a lot of these public officials went to work for Gary Grossman's company. So there's a lot of really incestuous behavior that appears to be planned and coordinated, and it appears that the mayor of SLO and Cal Poly are all part of all of this, and it's worrying. We've got to pay attention.
Yeah, so you have five council members at Cal Poly, or at the city of SLO, called the Cal Poly, slip of the tongue, and the Cal Poly is not in the city limits. But out of the five members of the council, the mayor and the council, there's only one who is not tied to Cal Poly. Either they work there or their spouses did or do. Only one person is not tied to Cal Poly on that council.
Wow. And, you know, that's another thing that people never mention. Cal Poly is also a government institution. It's a state. It's a state university. And so we've got to pay attention to all of them.
As in one thing also, the federal prosecutor's office in L.A. is becoming very aggressive going after looking at grant money, looking at money that went through several programs, grant programs, including with our county. There is over $300 million in fraud that they have found, and I think they've only gone after about $50 million of it so far. They say more arrests and more... information will be coming out soon. So there is a goal to go look at city councils. I think the FBI arrested people in Oakland in the last couple of days, or they raided the mayor's home. I do see a lot of the movement with the federal government looking at councils and mayors and conflicts of interest. Grant money is extraordinary what is going on right now.
Well, and that's one of the reasons we were worried about this one organization that was advising the city council, is that they were part of that investigation you're mentioning for millions of dollars in L.A. going astray. Public funds, millions of dollars of public funds going astray in L.A.
Yes, and I want to mention, I see that somebody calls and they rings twice and then they hang up. We are taking calls, 238-5775. We are taking your calls. It's very interesting as well. We're going to take our top of the hour break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Debbie Peterson.
Ryan, what do painters do when it gets cold outside?
I don't know. What?
Well, they put on another coat, of course.
Seth, that joke needs some touch-up.
Hi, I'm Seth Peake.
And I'm Ryan Peake.
And we're the Peake Brothers.
We paint interiors year-round.
But fall and winter? That's when it's perfect time.
Yeah, perfect time for a fresh look.
We do full interior painting, residential and commercial. We work with your schedule.
Plus cabinet painting that makes old kitchens look brand new.
Clean lines, no mess, no stress.
From one room in your home to a whole office building, tasting room, medical suites, we've got you covered.
This season, call the Peake Brothers. I'm Seth Peake.
And I'm Ryan Peake.
And we're the Peake Brothers.
And everybody loves a great experience.
That's Peake Painting. P-E-E-K painting.com.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I have Debbie Peterson on and we have a caller. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Peterson, for coming on to the show. I was calling in because I was curious if any of your group have noticed that, like, I have a couple of points. But first of all, that it seems like the machinery in San Luis Obispo and philosophies and manipulation of planning policy and zoning and, you know, shell games have been shifted to Grover Beach because it seems like there's similar players, similar concepts that have been used in the past. And I was wondering if any of you guys have been evaluating this because, for example, you know, Kyle Bell was instrumental cog in the wheel and, you know, creating what's occurred in San Luis Obispo. And, you know, we also see, you know, Jules Rogoff, I think that's her last name, if I got it wrong, but her husband was, you know, involved with the San Luis Ranch and apparently denying, you know, residents, you know, smoke inspections. And I just wonder if you guys have put any focus on that. That's my first question. The second question is that, you know, the debacle with Erica Stewart in the city of San Luis Obispo, you know, working behind the scenes, violating a grand jury instruction to, you know, to the detriment of residents and actually kind of being disparaging towards them while working with Cal Poly. And, you know, apparently some Mr. Grossman's referenced in some of those as the developer because of his relationships with Poly. Have you guys taken any look at this of, you know, maybe the years of hassles in San Luis Obispo have now just shifted to new lands being Grover Beach?
Well, I think that's really astute. Thank you so much. Because, yes, we know that Grossman is going to be building, if not already building, at Cal Poly. We know that we do see those relationships. We see people, it would appear, almost being recruited because of being able to do some of those things, supposed to do low-income housing but not doing low-income housing. We've got Kyle Bell. We've got Megan, our community development director, Megan Martin. And so, yes, we are seeing some of those relationships, and they're too close for comfort. And I think it's safe to say to Paso or anybody else, Pismo, coming to a city near you, be aware, be very aware.
Yeah, it's pretty frightful to see that, you know, this is just pushing forward. And when you have elected officials and hired officials that are supposed to be protecting the community and the residents and their quality of life and their neighborhoods and their businesses, that they seem to instead treat their constituents and those they're supposed to serve as a nuisance for out of area, you know, big money interests, because it's kind of clear a lot of the, you know, the kingpins that people think are kingpins in San Luis are developers, you know, really backed by, you know, out of area money, such as the Assemi family that's just, you know, laden with corruption related lawsuits, and then Presidio
and the Resniks.
Mm-hmm. And the Resniks. And it just becomes shocking that it's just so blatantly out there. And now Grover Beach just seems like a new area to exploit, because, you know, where else are they going to exploit San Luis unless, you know, Jan Marks is successful at handing over the parks to the, you know, developer constituents and out of money interests. And I just was wondering where your position on that all is.
Well, I think I see the connections that you're seeing, and I hear confirmation of it from other folks out in the community who are paying attention, and I think what you're saying is extremely valid. And, you know, one of the other things that we observe is that although our city tells us, oh, we have to build up, we don't have any choice, which is not true, but because we don't see that in any other cities. Other cities are building 2- and 3-story buildings. They're creating, and we did too, they're creating affordable housing more than is being created in the very tall buildings. And so, yes, we're seeing that some of these myths that are coming down the line being perpetrated by developers like Grossman and some of the other developers of the tall buildings, they are no more than myths. They're simply, if you go through and you really evaluate where the affordable homes are being built and how they're being built, you're going to see that it didn't happen in San Luis Obispo with Kyle Bell. It didn't happen in Pismo Beach with Megan Martin, and now they're both in Grover Beach. The affordable is not happening, but the upper range blocks of condos, expensive luxury condos, or so-called luxury condos, oh, those are all happening in great numbers.
Yeah, it's just an unfortunate situation that you know, those that are there to and trusted to protect are destroying the community and destroying people's neighborhoods and destroying their lives in many instances, because it's a really shameful thing when we see, you know, our local friends and neighbors fall prey to this, where, you know, maybe a Ford F-150 that's white, you know, is the prize, and, you know, they're willing to shaft their neighbors. And there's just too much of this happening and nothing being done. I just wanted to make that point.
Thank you. And you have to wonder, too, how much of this is being done to bring in funds to support the overrated salaries of some of these folks. I mean, as I said before, a city manager in Grover Beach, 12,000 people, makes $400,000 a year by the time you put in his benefits and everything else, and has a city manager assistant. So you have to wonder if there isn't some incentive there to the city authorities to build so that they can subsidize their very high salaries.
Yeah, the skew of salaries is, you know, pretty absurd that's occurring within the county when compared to other comparable towns. And it's, but, you know, then we look at the, you know, the county manager who, you know, the board of supervisors stands behind, and the way he shafted Dan Dow, you know, is trying to cripple Dan's ability to, you know, police some of this stuff and, you know, bring some justice. And, you know, just look at his background. And, you know, I think if you just use the county manager or county administrator that brought in, he comes in with the qualifications that Grover Beach and the city of San Luis Obispo and other areas apparently need. And, you know, comes a high price, I believe, you know, for, you know, to find somebody that's willing to do what some of these elected and, you know, employed, you know, representatives of the community are doing to the community. It's just very sad.
It's very, thank you very much for calling in. And Debbie, I watched this thing, you know, for example, in Paso Robles, there was a push to change the airport, the contractor out at the airport that sells gas and does repairs on airplanes. And there was an argument with some, wait a minute, there you have the English Air Force, you have military, the former ACI jet was bringing these groups in. Well, they cut it, their revenue for the sales, for the gas tax is way down. There was an estimated $10 million a year brought in by these groups. They stayed in hotels. They ate in restaurants. That's gone. But then, very interesting, I was watching the city council meeting, the last city council meeting, I think it was a week or two ago, and you had an update on the airport, and they showed pictures of the English, a plane with, from the English Air Force showing up, and they said, yes, they're down in San Luis Obispo now, but they still come up here and they still visit us and they still come here at sometimes. And instead of saying, yes, we lost a lot of revenue, there was this idea. They literally showed pictures on a screen of a plane from the English Air Force stopping for an event at the airport. And again, it's public officials promoting their decisions during council meetings that did not help the city.
In other words, we're seeing self-interest on the part of elected representatives instead of the public's best interest on the part of our elected representatives, and that's when you start seeing measures coming around. So vote. Vote, vote, vote.
And as you know, sales tax and property tax and TOT tax are your number one revenues. The airport belongs to the citizens, belongs to the city. And there was not only the tax of the sales tax on the gas, but TOT went down, and the a lot of TOT, a lot of stays in hotels in the city, and a lot of visiting the restaurants downtown. It has an impact. When it's explained that that's happening, and the argument was, I had several council members tell me, oh, no, no, they're here because of us. They love the city. They're not here because he made an agreement with them and brought them here. And the English Air Force now, they are primary. They stay in SLO. They stay at hotels in SLO. The planes gas up in SLO. It took a ton of revenue from the city and the business owners in this community when they made a change without considering all the issues.
Absolutely, yeah. And honestly, if there are council members who have an association with the airport or anywhere else, they should be recusing themselves and allowing those who are not, do not have a potential bias or conflict of interest, allowing them to make the decisions.
Absolutely. And Debbie, I really thank you about what you've done for the initiative process in this county and for coming on the show today.
Thank you for giving us your ear. We appreciate it.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL was brought to you by Lynn Patrol, specializing in dryer vent cleaning. Don't overwork your dryer or let your vent start a fire. Contact Dylan at LynnPatrolCA.com or call 805-975-5176.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.